This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time now on RNIB Connect Radio to talk guide dogs. Yes, our beloved furry companions on guide dog blogs. And joining me today is a brand new contributor. First time appearance on guide dog blogs from Phil Rutter. Phil, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Yes, great to be invited along, to be honest.
So you've had guide dogs for quite a few years from what I've heard. So can you tell us a little bit about your kind of site condition and, well, your experience of guide dog ownership?
Yeah, well, my eye condition is detached retinas, which were fully detached back in 1973, and totally blind, obviously. So I applied for a dog then, and I got my first dog in 1975. So I'm on my sixth dog now, and I've obviously had a guide dog and been working one for over 45, 47 years. So even with the time you've taken off for waiting for replacements. So I certainly wouldn't have had the kind of independence and quality of life that I've managed to have without having a guide dog. That it's been a real plus in my life.
Can you tell us a little bit about your current guide dog?
Yeah, my current guide dog is a Labrador. He's 8 years old now. I got him in 2017. His name's Humbug, which obviously is a name that brings mirth to people's lips when I tell them the dog's name. But he is a great dog, a really fun dog. You know, loves playing, but when he's working. In fact, last week I had a visit from a guide dog mobility instructor, and we did really well. He's, as usual, he was really performed well, so she was really pleased with him.
Funny, when I first met Humbug, it was actually in December. Names are often our choice, but they're quite amusing guide dog names when you have them. I mean, Caesar, the guide dog, strong name.
I mean, I've had Ness, Lance, Vic. They were three German shepherds. And then I had Innis, Marcus, and now Humbug.
So let's talk about borders then. It's quite an important part because sometimes you cannot take your dog somewhere for whatever reason, whether it's going abroad or going away somewhere, and you need to be able to find one. Now, you nominate one initially, but what do you then do in your situation where, for example, the nominated border that you nominate kind of as part of your application process isn't available?
The ones that always used to have my dogs when I went abroad, because I've never taken a dog abroad, they have had dogs of their own. Now they're not in a position to actually, where they live, to have a dog. I've had to find different people to board Humbug. It was the first dog that I've had where I've had to look around for someone to actually have him. But I was very fortunate because his puppy walker, who they live, well, a puppy raiser, they're called now, they're always willing to have him back. So he has been there a few times. And also I've got a lady who lives in the same village near to where I live in Luton. She lives in Barton Le Clay. And just last week I was in Spain, and she does look after dogs for other people as well. And so she looks after him for me, and that's the second time that he's been there. So he was there for 9 days. You know, as long as you find someone really that you can entrust to look after your dog and to make sure that the rules that you follow at home, especially with feeding, you know, and use of the whistle on free runs, what to do and what times to feed him, all the rules really. And she is very good at following the rules. So I trust her completely. And she's very reasonable. She's £20 a day, which nowadays is pretty good. But when I take him down to my puppy walker, it's only that it's not very convenient in terms of the distance away, getting the dog there.
So when it comes to the border you've got locally, where did you find them? Because what I find always tricky is finding borders if it's not your puppy raiser or your fosterer.
I was just asked around when I'd been walking my dog in the park. She was looking after someone else's dog at the time. And I can't remember how the conversation went, but She said, oh, I think she said, does he come on holiday with you? No, I said, well, in the UK, it's fine. But in abroad, I don't wish to take him on a foreign holiday. Because I don't think he'd enjoy it anyway. So because my daughter lives in Barnacle as well, she knows her and is a friend of her son's. It was very lucky. I was very fortunate because it is a problem. I ran guide dogs. And of course, for holiday cover, they don't do it. They used to do it, but now they don't do it. They'll do it for a specialist, you know, if you hospitalise or something like that. But for holidays, you have to find your own. So ask around. I mean, I wouldn't put those sort of things on Facebook because you need to establish that the person is going to be someone that will look after your dog especially well because of obviously the value of the dog anyway, but also to make sure that they follow the rules in terms of the way the dog is looked after and fed as you would do yourself.
Yeah, and I think the key there is as well, like for me, if I was to leave my dog with someone, I want to, you know, be able to at least visit them, have a look where they live and what they're like, rather than kind of grab someone off social media and not be able to visit them. I think even if I was to find someone on social media, I'd still insist on visiting and seeing them face to face just to make sure that you can get these reassurances that they will follow the rules.
She said that she does it, and then I got a couple of people whose dogs she looked after, and they were really pleased with her. And then I took him down there to meet him, because although she'd met him in the park, obviously on the day I met her, but I took him down there and we had a look at where she lived and to make sure that the garden was safe. And he could, I mean, he wouldn't escape. He's not that kind of dog anyway, but it's just a reassurance. I think we owe it to ourselves, the dog, and to the Guide Dog Association to make sure that we cover all the points necessary to give us peace of mind when we're away anyway, but also so that they know what they're going to do and to make sure they've got access to our vets. And they need to be, you know, more involved, let's say, than if you were to put your dog in the kennels, which I would never do anyway.
Sounds good. So there we go. A few tips for you when you're looking for a dog boarder. I think the main point is just to make sure you check them through thoroughly, each candidate, before you obviously leave them. The ideal thing is obviously either your nominated boarder, ideally, or maybe your puppy raiser or foster these days. Look there first, and then if you have to investigate elsewhere, there are other options. But if you have your own experiences and you'd like to talk about them, then of course you can get in touch with us as well and let us know. But thank you, Phil Rutter, for talking to us here on Guide Dog Blogs. I'm sure we'll have you back here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Okay, well, my pleasure, Hubert. Thank you.